Third point, the pain of loss. But all these torments are nothing compared with the pain of loss. Hell does not consist in the darkness, stench, shrieks, and fire. The pain which constitutes hell is the pain of having lost God. Let torments, says Saint Bruno, be added to torments, and let them not be deprived of God. And Saint John Chrysostom says that 1,000 hells are not equal to this pain. According to Saint Augustine, if the damned enjoyed the vision of God, quote, they should feel no pain, and hell should be converted into a paradise, unquote. To conceive some notion of this pain, consider that, should a person lose a jewel worth 100 crowns, the loss would occasion great pain. But were the jewel worth 200 crowns, his pain is doubled. And if it were worth 400 crowns, the pain is still greater. In a word, the pain which he suffers increases in proportion to the value of what he has lost. What have the damned lost? They have lost God, who is an infinite good. Hence, St. Thomas says that the pain of the damned is, in a certain manner, infinite. This pain is dreaded only by the saints. St. Ignatius of Loyola used to say, Lord, I am willing to bear every pain, but not the pain of being deprived of Thee. But because they live in the midst of darkness, sinners who are content to live for months and years without God do not understand this pain. However, they will know at death the great good which they lose. At its departure from this world, the soul, as Saint Antonine says, instantly sees that it has been created for God. Hence, it will suddenly rush forward to embrace its sovereign good. But if it be in sin, God will cast it off. If a dog sees a hare, what efforts does he not make to break his chains and seize his prey? At its separation from the body, the soul is naturally drawn to God, but sin drags it away and sends it to hell, at a distance from him. Your iniquities, says the prophet Isaiah, have divided between you and your God. The entire, then, of the hell of the damned consists in that first word of the sentence of their condemnation, Depart from me, ye accursed. Go, Jesus Christ shall say, I do not wish you ever again to see my face. When Absalom heard that David condemned him nevermore to appear before him, he said, Tell my father either to permit me to see his face or to put me to death. To one of his grandees, whom he saw guilty of irreverence in the church, Philip II said, quote, Do not dare ever again to appear in my presence, unquote. So great was the pain which the nobleman felt, that, after having returned home, he died of grief. What will be the anguish of the reprobate at the hour of death, when God will say to him, Begone, I will never see you again. I will hide my face from thee, all evils and afflictions shall find them. On the day of judgment, Jesus Christ will say to the reprobate, You are no longer mine. I am no longer yours. Call his name not my people, for you are not my people, and I will not be yours. With what pain does a son at the death of a father, or a wife at the death of a husband say, My father, my wife, I shall never see you again. Ah, if we now heard the wailing of one of the damned and asked him why he weeps so bitterly, his answer would be, I weep because I have lost God and shall never see him more. Perhaps the miserable man can love God in hell and can resign himself to his will. No, if he could do this, hell would not be hell. The unhappy being can never resign himself to the divine will, neither can he love his God. He hates and will hate him forever, and his hell will consist in the conviction that God is an infinite good and that he is compelled to hate him while he sees that he is worthy of infinite love.